When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The old X, formerly known as Twitter, which I'm going to keep calling it Twitter. I don't care. It's Twitter to
It'll
me.
Always be Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter X is what
why,
I do
what, why the hell would you have a brand that recognizable and go, oh, I'm going to change the name?
He's making it up on the fly, I think.
He's a billionaire. He's just having fun with it. It's a toy to him. You know what I mean? He's just like, ah, I paid $44 billion. I'll do what I want, you know? Took away my blue check, you know, hurt my feelings. I was a somebody, guys, you know. Now I got to pay $9 a month to be somebody.
Well, maybe once your BET experience takes off, you'll get a black check.
Black check. That's what I want, baby.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
There you go.
I just want to get my black card. I think I'm so
you
close
got
to getting
it, dude.
It.
You got your black card. Listen, when I first met Johnny B, we were the improvs and the funny bones would send me like on suicide mission. Gigs where like I would be the white guy opening for gangster black comedian where they've tried other white guys and they were killed.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And I would come out here to Florida and I'd be opening for, and Johnny B would be on the ticket and Johnny would just murder.
Uh-huh.
He is the blackest white man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Why do you think he has a hot girlfriend?
Well, she's a wife now. Yeah, she's got a big booty, too.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Because he's hung like a black
man. It is weird. I mean, you know, I ain't going to complain.
Well, let's see it now. We got to see
it. I mean, I lost 120 pounds in the last 2 years. So, you know, I gained a few inches back. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's the same ding-dong. It's just got less stuff around it, you know? Mm. So it's nice. But he is right, though. And I remember having this conversation with the manager at the Improv when I was a few years in. And I was, I was getting hosting gigs, like, Every 3 weeks, we were on a rotation, me and a couple other comics. And I remember saying, hey, man, like, you know, Jim Norton's coming in. I see him on the calendar. I saw Bert Kreischer on the calendar. You know, I said, I go, hey, man, like, can I get it one of those weekends or something? I go, you know, you got me, you know, I'm doing, you know, Guy Tori weekend. I'm doing Lavelle Crawford weekend.
Right.
You know? And he goes, is that a problem? I go, no, I love those guys. And I love the crowds. Like, I love them. I go, why aren't you booking me with the white guys, you know, and the white girls, you know?
They wouldn't do it with me either. That's what they would do with me.
And
don't get me wrong, I was happy to get time. It was awesome.
Sure, but what he told me was, I book you at those shows because you're not afraid of the black crowds.
Yeah.
And I go, well, then obviously I'm not afraid of the white ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not afraid of any of them. Like, Hispanic, white, Asians, like, I want to work them all. Put me on with Bobby Lee, you know?
Hell yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, give me anybody.
I like that. Do you like a challenge? Like when you go into a market you haven't done before, do you like the challenge of like, I don't know what the crowd's going to be. I don't know. They don't know who I am. Now
I do find pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't really, you know, comedy's universal. I did have the worst set I ever had. I was touring through Europe actually, and I'd been killing. Like I did Romania, uh-huh. Murdered. Did Paris, murdered. I got booked in Amsterdam. Theater in Denez, it was called Denez Theater. It's this big theater where they do comedy. And I'm up on stage, and it was one of those sets where they're very polite in Europe. They don't heckle. They just sit quietly looking at you. It's way worse. You could hear a pin drop. It was the quietest room in the world. And, you know, comics joke about that that drop of sweat going down the ass crack.
Yeah.
It literally was, like, that stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? What is going on? What is the disconnect? So I thought maybe it was, I said to the crowd, I go, hey, are you having trouble understanding my English? And the whole crowd at once said, no.
Oh,
man, I'm just
with an English accent.
I was just eating it, dude.
Yeah. You know, what's funny. I just did a week with April Macy like 2 weeks ago. She's awesome. Love her to death. And she has a place. I guess she married an Italian guy or something.
She's in where, Prague or somewhere?
Yeah. So she's over there. And she told me, she goes, Johnny, you would love Europe. They would eat you
up. You
would
murder in Europe, Johnny.
But here's the funny part. What you just said, she goes, all the rooms are great except Amsterdam. I don't know what it
is
about Amsterdam.
Are you serious? She said that?
Yeah.
Dude, I ate it so hard in Amsterdam. And I was like, well, maybe the crowd's high. The locals don't really smoke.
Right.
So, like,
that's tourist stuff.
I don't know what the hell.
It's weird, yeah. My worst set ever was at the Tampa Improv featuring for Mark Maron. I was about 3 years into comedy, and they needed a feature, and his crowd was way too sophisticated for me. I mean, 25 minutes of dead silence. Like, yeah. I heard like the kitchen manager in the kitchen, like, "Hey, man, we need fries on table 10. And I'm like, "Oh God, I'm gonna kill myself." Oh, and then, man, I got my inner demon voice going, you know, counting down, going, "Only 24 more minutes,
oh,
buddy.
Oh, jeez, that's
only 24 more minutes." It was the worst time of my life. Yeah, it was not good at all. And then I bombed in front of featuring for Bobby Kelly one time. Not that bad, not the Mark Maron bomb, but pretty bad. And I remember Bobby Kelly with the best line, and I still use it on comics, newer comics now. I walk up, and he goes, "Hey, man, this ain't for everybody."
Oh.
I was like, "Ouch, Bobby.
Wow.
Bobby, no."
Like, you never had a bad set?
No. He was just busting balls. We've worked a lot together since then. And he actually called me, him and our morning guy, Mike Calta, they're like best friends. They called me on three-way when he was looking for somewhere to record his last special, Killbox. And I was on the way to a restaurant with my now wife to propose to her. I had a ring in my pocket, and I get this phone call, and it's Bobby Kelly. And I'm like, "What the hell?" You know, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm looking for a venue, you know, in the Tampa area, and you're the guy, you know what?" And I just, my brain was just completely fried. I was worried about proposing. And I couldn't think of anywhere off the top of my head, but they ended up finding a really great spot, and the special came out wonderful. But I was just like, every time I see him advertising a special, I'm like, "Yeah, I remember that phone call where he was looking for a venue," and I was just like, "I don't know."
He's an interesting dude. Like, I met him, I worked with him twice, and the first time he was a real jerk to me, and the second time he didn't know who I was, he couldn't remember me, and he couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, well, you know.
And I'm like, "What is going on with this guy?"
He's bipolar, like most comics.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, we're all crazy. Yeah.
Well, here's something I want to talk about, because we've been talking about the improv, right?
Uh-huh.
Dude, I am psyched to be coming back to Side Splitters. I love the improv. I don't want to, I'm not going to say anything bad, because they've been really good to us. But the Side Splitters, bro, I played there like, I was in this improv group when I was a kid. I was like 19 or 20. Side Splitters been around for a minute, bro.
Yeah.
And we did that room, and I just remember, it's like a magical room. It's a beautiful room.
I mean, it's a kill box.
It is.
It really is. And it's got that nostalgic feeling. And they play a reel before their shows now that's just comics talking about them, like on different podcasts.
About Side Splitters?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They pull these clips from Rogan's show and all these different podcasts where they just organically bring up Side Splitters and how it's one of their favorite. You know, there's Mark Norman, there's Ari Shaffir. All these guys are like, "Tampa, you got to get down to Tampa."
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Side Splitters, that is a joint. And when you walk in, it hits you. Like, it's this nostalgic 80s, 90s comedy club. You smell the popcorn. You know, it's just everything about it is just like comedy club. You know?
Yeah.
It's
I find a lot of these clubs nowadays are very corporate.
Yeah.
And to the point where I'm not going to say his name, but a high-level club owner guy that works for large chains, and he goes, "Dude, it's not even about funny anymore. We could care less."
Yeah, it's asses in seats.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
We are a restaurant.
I'm opening for TikTokers now, so
and
I know.
These guys couldn't sniff your jock when it comes to funny.
Yeah. No, but it's true. It's true.
But they're selling $100 tickets, and you're like, "What the hell's going on here?"
Yeah.
I've been doing comedy 30 years, and I'm opening for some kid who does a song about a llama.
Yes.
And I'm like, what happened to my career?
Yeah, the first time it happened to me was I was doing a Sunday night show, like a 7 o'clock show, and I go to walk in and the club, and the bouncer's like, "You can't go in." I'm like, "No, I'm headlining the show." And he goes, "Yeah, but we have a 5 o'clock show that's a private show that's sold out, and we have to clear everybody out here in a little bit." It was a YouTuber. He was 16 years old. He had no jokes. He was up there doing dances and stuff. Had a merch table the size of Walmart, and he ended up like making my show a half hour late. And I was like, that was in like 2015. I'm like, "What the hell is happening?"
And it just got worse since then.
Yeah.
So I mean, they had me open for this YouTube kid, and they were like, "Can you do like 40 minutes in the middle? Because this kid's got like 12 minutes of jokes."
Uh huh. Yeah.
I'm like, "Well, give me 40 minutes worth of paycheck."
They will. I figured that
really?
Out.
Really?
These YouTubers have bankrolls and these TikTokers. So they asked me to, one of them, I'm not going to say who it is, not funny. big on TikTok. But they said, hey, can you host? And my first thought was, I'm a headliner, bitch.
Right.
You want me to host for you? You suck. You're not even a comic. But instead, I went, think like a capitalist, right? So I said, I go, how much time do you want me to do? They said, well, as much time as you want. And I said, well, I need $400. They're like, done. I'm like, okay.
That's nothing to them. That $400 is nothing to these kids.
Well, yeah, they were charging $80 for meet and greet tickets.
So yeah, you got five tickets.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah,
they go,
beautiful.
We'll give him five tickets worth of cash.
Yeah, it was great.
It's a win-win for everybody, though, right?
I agree. I don't mind, dude. I'll open up for the devil if you give me enough money.
I can think of one guy who's actually can back it up as a comic, and that's this kid Jason Banks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's an Ohio
Columbus
guy. Dude, yeah. I watched him pretty much grow up on stage. And that guy, like, he's actually funny. Like,
yeah.
He's the one TikToker that I would say, yeah, that's a guy who can do 45 strong minutes and is worth the price of admission.
Good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen clips of his stand-up, but I know how he got famous on TikTok with the little son-dad back-and-forth thing.
He's solid.
You know, he's funny as hell. Social media, Johnny B. Tampa on everything. Will is home_made_man on everything. And Jake, give everybody yours.
Cadillac Comedy 4 on TikTok. I am Jake Annarino on Instagram. That's IANNARINO. That's weird.
It took me like a year, but I can spell it now.
It's
no
the
problem.
I messes it up. IAN, but it's Jake IAN, and Google will spell
and the
it
I is
why
like
you
silent.
Get the same name for TikTok? Why didn't you consolidate your hands?
Because I'm on like my 15th account on TikTok.
Yeah.
I keep getting banned because I fought the COVID narrative pretty hard.
Oh.
Dude, I was like the first guy out of the gate. I was like, they announced, I was like, if you look at my YouTube, go back to March when I was like, nobody shut your business down. Nobody give in to the fear. This is all nonsense. This is the World Economic Forum. This is the Gates Foundation. It's all garbage. And all of a sudden, I went from getting millions of views to getting like 15 views, got demonetized, got account after account taken down on Instagram, on TikTok. They really came after me pretty hard, and I'm rebuilding now, but
that stinks because now you're kind of all over the place where people just need one name.
Yeah.
One simple name to come get you. See, you got to get burner accounts if you're going to do the trash talk. You got to like make a burner account, get like a avatar of like a knight. And that's when you can say all the crazy stuff. And that gets banned. You're like, whatever.
Yeah, I need like multiple accounts, I guess.
Well, you didn't know at that time.
Yeah,
a lot of people didn't know at that time that you were going to get pulled down for having an opinion on something.
Right. That's,
you know?
That's true. That's facts.
I thought it might happen, actually.
I know.
I had that feeling in my gut, like, I'm probably going to get in some trouble for this because the media was so aggressively live in fear. Your family will die if you don't put a mask on.
They're starting to do it again now. So
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a. Well, what about was it last year or the year before where Biden said, the White House came out and they said we're going to have a winter of death. If you
a
don't
severe
get vaccinated.
Winter of death and destruction.
It was like a movie trailer, yeah. And then the hurricane was coming through, and Biden goes, and I don't know how everybody in the world didn't just go, all right. He goes, the most important thing you could do to protect yourself when this hurricane comes through is get vaccinated.
Hurricanes hate mRNA.
Get vaccinated. And like everybody just went, what? That's a reach, buddy boy, you know? You know it's going to blow COVID up your butt. You got to get vaccinated. It was weird, dude. So, but yeah, I think Florida, we dealt with it for a little bit, but then it was most of the state was like, all right.
Were people into the mask thing down here?
Some.
Dude, in Ohio, people would like fist fight you over. I had the cops called on me.
Wow.
Because I was like, I'm not putting that on. I know what this is. And when you put that mask on, you're pushing this fear, and I'm not pushing fear for Big Pharm.
Right.
I'm not. I knew that. I didn't know there would be a shot that they would try to push, but I knew something was afoot. And now I'm like, oh, this was all to scare people ahead of the shot.
Right.
And so I wouldn't do it. And I was at a comedy club one night, and it wasn't really a comedy club. It was one of those bar gigs.
Yeah, it's most of my gigs.
And they said, hey, you can't come in without a mask. And I said, I'm not doing it. I'm the main act.
Like
we literally will not have a show.
Yeah.
So the girl says, well, I'm not letting you in. And then I see her walk off and take the trash out to the back of the building. And I walked in. And I said, put me up right now. They put me on stage. I got on stage. I made fun of the masks. I made fun of all this stuff. I got off, and the guy said, listen, you put a mask on right now or you're fired. You'll never play this room again. I said, go F your sister.
Yeah, dude.
I'm not
Were
coming
you on
back.
Stage? You weren't on stage with
I got off stage. The minute I got off stage.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they were like, you have to wear a mask even when you're performing, then I could go, okay, well, that at least makes some semblance right. of sense. But you're on stage speaking loudly into the crowd without right. a mask, and then yeah. you have to, like, that doesn't, none of that made any sort of sense whatsoever.
Oh, like, what's like going to a restaurant? As long as you're sitting down, COVID yeah. will fly over your head. Again, you know, you could just no take the mask off.
No sense.
None of it makes any sense. It's all, because it's all just made up nonsense from Big Farm.
But the business owners too, Jake, it's not their fault. They're forced to do these things because otherwise we'll come in and fine you. If
yeah.
we find somebody. So I got into a run in. This was like, honestly, I was kind of like, if you want me to wear a mask, fine. If I'm going to the grocery store, whatever I need to do, I was pretty compliant with stuff. One day I went to, there was this bar. It was like outside. I didn't even go
inside.
An
outdoor, like a courtyard kind
yes.
of? Yeah.
And I didn't even think about it. And it was, I don't want to mention the establishment, but it was really close to my house. And this, I had a mask in my hand in case I went in. And, but I was sitting outside. So I just had it in my hand. And as I was walking by to sit down at the bar, this old man goes, you know, it works better if you wear it. And I go, yeah, you know, I'm just sitting down here at the bar. He gets up and starts talking to the bartender, points at me, and he's getting mad. And, you know, and then the bar, they're like, sorry, we can't serve you. I'm like, who is this man? Like, who? He goes, that's the owner.
That's the mask police.
That's the owner. And I was like, fair enough. Goodbye. And I never went back, and I never will go back
no,
to that place
I'll,
again.
I'll never go back to one of the places that gave me grief. But I will never give him another penny.
I feel bad for that guy, even though he seems like he's doing fine. The business is still open, and he survived COVID. But to his point, he's like, they're going to find me if you're not wearing it. If somebody comes in here, if some police force comes in here and tells
Show me the law where I have to make my patrons wear a mask.
Oh, they were pulling people's liquor licenses for yeah. 6 months.
They were pulling liquor licenses?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Insanity.
Didn't the law had no credence at that time. Like, it wasn't a thing.
That, like, you can't just make up laws. They have to pass.
They do it all the time.
Yeah,
and then they have their police force enforce them.
Unbelievable,
this is an
man.
Emergency. You know, they went under the guise of the emergency.
I hate the people with the great that had the greater than thou thing too. I was doing a cancer benefit at a big theater. I'm not going to say which theater, but it's a very large theater where I performed with Ralphie May and I saw Chris Rock there. You know, like
cool
huge theater. So I was there a couple of years ago. Well, it was a year after the pandemic started. And they had a rule where, you know, you had to have a mask on except for when you're on stage, you know. And the stage manager, this 22-year-old sitting off to the side, you know, of the curtain and everything. I'm going on stage in 30 seconds. And I'm working with Derek Richards, Steve Byrne.
Those wow.
Are, yeah, I'm opening for both of those guys. Both murderers, right? But Derek Richards, he's you know, he's a guy that was pushing against a lot of that stuff too, you know, and he's you know, I don't know, I would say he's probably a Republican comedian, you know, probably is what somebody would label him, but he's just
I didn't know there were any Republican.
I just
comedians.
Think he's sensible, you know, and he pushes against stuff. So I mean, I guess they would label me that too. I don't know, even though I'm pretty much a, you know, independent and hate everybody. But he I'm 30 seconds. I'm going on stage. They're announcing me, and I take my mask off and I'm standing off to the side. Little 20-something-year-old goes, "You need to have a mask on." That's his exact voice. I'm not going to say what.
Yeah, I need to have your mask.
He goes, "You need to have your mask on." And I said, "Well, I'm going on stage." He goes, "Well, until you get on stage." And I went, "Are you serious?" And he goes, "Is 6 million people dying serious?
6 million PCR or whatever. Tests.
Like, he just threw out this big number. Like, is that serious?
Yeah.
Like, me taking my mask off 30 seconds before I walk on stage is going to kill some more people.
Right.
And I look over at him and I go, are you a real person? And as I'm walking on stage, I can hear Derek Richards just chewing this guy out.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, ooh, nice.
Derek Richards, cool.
Yeah, he's the best. Yeah. So he's just like, you're an effing joke. Da, 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 da. You know, it's like, What? And I was so, it upset me so bad. It almost threw me off my set. But I was like, no, you know, this is a big crowd. There's 1,000 people. I'm trying. I got to do a good job. And so I just shelved it until later. But when I got off stage, it came right back to me. And I wanted to go over and punch him in the face, but right. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I just walked around with my mask off behind stage the entire time. I went to the green room. Nah, no mask. I don't care. What are you going to do?
It created like this Stanford prison experiment in real life, like on a large scale.
It did.
It had low status people who are just normal plebs now get to tell people what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the prison guards.
I'm the enforcer. Me.
Yeah. And
I've never known the love of a woman. Put your mask on.
There's a certain personality type that really fed on that because they were morally in the right.
This is my time to shine.
Yes. Yeah. And it was a lot of that. And you still see it, you know, now.
It's true.
So it was a very unfortunate time, and I hope it doesn't come back. I don't think we have much to worry about here in the state of Florida.
I think the illusion's broken. I think the powers that should not be made a huge miscalculation. They thought that everybody was going to comply and everybody would line up for these shots and keep their and live in fear. And instead, they just woke everybody up. Remember when they would say, oh, there's these groups, there's these shadowy leaders up top, and it's the Illuminati. And people would go, who's the Illuminati? Who's that? Mm. Now people are like, it's kind of like the Illuminati. Who's the Illuminati? Now you're like, no, we know who they are. It's the World Health Organization. It's Bill Gates. It's Klaus Schwab. We know who they are. Yeah. Like, all they did was wake everybody up.
They were very open in talking about these things, too. It's not like they're hiding.
No, they're writing books saying it.
And that's what, you know, is so wild to me is that you could show somebody that video of them talking. And they'll still go, no, you're wrong. You know, they won't even entertain
you could show
the
them
idea.
Evidence. And they're like, nope, conspiracy yes. theorist. Yes.
Well, that's their, you know, it's very... tribal are very it's like we've talked about it. It's almost like sports teams, you know, everybody has their team and their team can't be wrong, you know what I mean?
Right. It's
like,
it's true.
Yeah, even if your team
it's
is
like
Cleveland
political
Browns.
Party once you sign on to right. a political party, you sign on to a bunch of BS.
Nobody will call their party out, which
no.
is crazy.
I agree with everything my party says.
Yeah, no,
but I'm not towing the line. I'm an independent.
It is weird. You should be able to you know, like even if you like a candidate, you could say like, well, I don't like this about them.
Right.
Because I've said that even like about Ron DeSantis. He'd be like, oh, you're a big DeSantis guy. I'm like, I like a lot of stuff that he stands for. But then there's some stuff that I don't agree with.
Sure.
Because I'm a regular person. Like I'm a dude that doesn't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, well, you're right. We get called right wingers all the time. Like, no, I'm not religious. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I don't.
I'm kind of pro-choice, you know? So, I mean, how am I right-winger in that regard? That's stupid. That doesn't fit the narrative at all. So, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. It's just, everybody's dumb.
Well, like I was saying before, we were talking before. Anybody, the definition of conspiracy theorist and right-wing Nazi now is anybody who doesn't believe the news. If you do not believe the TV or the official narrative, then you're some kind of crazy conspiracy tinfoil Alex Jones guy. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, I could just see through the BS.
I mean, I'll tell you this too. This is another thing where I have compassion for people because there's only so much time in a day. And a lot of people live their lives. They go to work. They come home. They put on the news.
And they trust
it. It's a prestige organization. They're the news. Why would they deceive you? And they just don't understand. I mean, there's plenty of evidence. You could go online and find, they just don't want to. No, I don't want to. It's too far down the
it's
rabbit
true.
Hole. I'm afraid to go down the rabbit hole. I don't want to do it. I'm just going to go with this. And I am compassionate to that. And I understand why they do that stuff. They're wrong. I mean, there's so much evidence that they lie to you constantly. And if they're lying to you about this, what else have they lied to you
everything
about?
Like my dad, yeah. I don't, a lot of my family members, they sit and they watch the news
all day.
They sit and they watch it all day.
Yeah.
And they believe everything. Mm-hmm. And you're like, hey man, let me show you that. Nope. Yeah. Conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Well, you know what opened up my eyes? Like it was the Summer of Love, and I noticed how most of the news channels were like basically pushing violence.
They were.
And it blew my mind. And I remember we talked about it because I would say before then I was skeptical, but I also was one of those people that's like, hey, CNN's been around forever. They're giving us the news. Why wouldn't I believe a report or NBC or Fox or any of these guys? You know, these are big news stations. Like they're just giving us the news. So when all that was going on, and I was like, wait a minute, they want us to burn cities down. They want us to hate each other. I started really just seeing it.
Yeah.
So then I started looking back at other stuff over like 20, 30 years, and I was like, I started thinking about like after 9/11, how many times they showed those planes hitting the buildings over and over again on a loop for months and months. And I was like, Jesus, that was some sensationalism too. We didn't need to see that every 5 seconds, but they wanted us to see it.
We can protect you from this if you give up your rights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the Patriot Act.
Right.
Yeah, you're not a patriot?
So that's what opened up my eyes. And then like you said, you know, if you point that out to somebody, you go, oh, you're one of those people. What, somebody that's not a blind moron? Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is pretty obvious. It's right here in our face. Like,
sigh, people are under some kind of spell or something, man.
Yeah.
It's laziness. It's
yeah.
Not even a, it's like the opposite of a spell. It's just like, this is the news, not to repeat myself. Why would they lie? There's no incentive for them to lie. They don't understand. You know, they'll see the news is sponsored by Pfizer all of a sudden. Since
why would they lie?
Out.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah, and I mean, there's that. And just go, okay, well, clearly there might be incentive for this organization yeah. sponsored, given a lot of money to yeah. not report negative things about their product.
Right.
Obviously. But it's just one of those things where you just go, I can't. A lot of people just can't do it. They're just, they follow the rules. They you know, just see their...
There's
their,
a comfort in just staying
they
in line.
They see their independence to the authority. They're the government. Like
they're
going to
take care of
us. Everything.
They're going to take care of us.
They care about us.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
they gave us the stimulus checks because they care?
Right.
Yeah, man.
Right.
Come on.
I'm to the point where I almost am far enough down the rabbit hole that I'm not saying... I believe in lizard people. I'm not saying that, okay? But I'm just saying...
I thought you were going to be like, I've seen gay frogs.
No, no. All I'm saying is, think about your most hated politician, whether you're on the right or left. Think about Obama, Trump, whoever you hate the most, Hillary, whoever. Picture them coming out and saying, ladies and gentlemen of America, I have an announcement. And they rip a mask off, and under it is this little... You wouldn't be shocked.
You'd Nobody like, would flinch.
You'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
They just...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.